Welcome back. Sound keeps on going. So we'll explore a little bit further meditation, Feldenkrais mixture. Just wanted to see if there was anything that you noticed while you were away from all this, just having lunch, being out and about, if the things that we did in the morning had an effect on you in some way that, you know, was noticeable for you, something that happened.
Well, for me, simply that I just feel more peaceful inside.
Mm. Okay.
I mean, I'm calmer.
Calmer, more peaceful. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Anything else to report?
Moving more slowly.
Moving more slowly. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So let's sit a little bit. Well, I'll continue to play with different types of contemplations as you're sitting. I wanted to start off just reading something that I put on the handout, which was a quote by Pema Chodron, a teacher in the Tibetan tradition that I like, that her orientation. She says, when people start to meditate or work with any kind of spiritual discipline, they often think that somehow they're going to improve, which is a kind of subtle aggression against who they really are. It's a bit like saying, if I jog, I'll become a better person. If I could only get a nicer house, I'd be a better person. If I could meditate and calm down, I'd be a better person. Or the scenario might be that they find fault with others. They might say, if it weren't for my husband, I'd have the perfect marriage. If it weren't for the fact that my boss and I can't get along, I'd have the perfect job. And if it weren't for my mind, my meditation would be excellent. But loving kindness toward ourselves doesn't mean getting rid of anything. Loving kindness means that we can still be crazy after all these years. We can still be angry after all these years. We can still be timid or jealous or full of feelings of unworthiness. The point is not to try to change ourselves. Meditation practice isn't about trying to throw ourselves away and become something better. It's about befriending who we are already. The ground of practice is you or me or whoever we are right now, just as we are. That's the ground. That's where we study. That's what we study. That's what we come to know with tremendous curiosity and interest. Pema Chodron. So, you know, the orientation is, I think that I like about that is it's really just a discovery listening mode. You're just finding out how it is at this particular time, in this particular situation. Sure, improvements might arise or come from doing any of this. But the idea is just to really explore and inquire with curiosity as to what's going on, just to notice. So we'll just sit for a few minutes before we go into another lesson, which we'll do in a sitting position. So everybody just sit, find a comfortable way to sit. We'll be looking a lot at how to become more comfortable sitting. And again, if you need to or want to lie down, or take care of yourself that way. You can always feel free to do that, to be in any position that's comfortable for you. So just simply finding your contact with the surface you're on. You can have your eyes open or closed. If you wish, as a way to become a little more focused, you can become mindful of your inhalation and exhalation. Whenever you want, you can simply attune to listening. Be the listening. If you wish, you can have the sense of simply being the presence of the whole body, inhabiting the body, feeling the presence of the whole body at once, the body-mind. So that the field of awareness or of listening is just completely open. There's no real inside or outside. There's just the sense of whatever is appearing and disappearing in the midst of a vast, open, welcoming listening. You can always attune to the natural rhythm of your inhalation and exhalation. Or to welcoming, to listening, to being open, to your sense of openness. Inhabiting the sense of the body, however it appears to you, the whole body, any of the regions of the body, mind. Just being mindful of the whole vast range of phenomena appearing and being the listening, the knowing of it. At some time, you can open your eyes, include sights as well in the meditation. When you do so, have a sense of just occupying the whole body-mind and simply receiving vision, letting the sights, sounds, everything simply come into the space of the body. into the space of awareness that's already there, just welcoming it all. Maybe have a diffuse gaze, globally take in everything. When you hear the sound of the bell, similarly, just letting the sound wash through the whole presence of the body, mind, awareness, listening. Okay, we'll move into the next lesson, being in this listening mode. And so now we're going to introduce a lesson that has to do with finding ways to sit, ways to sit that are dynamically comfortable, which go really well with sitting meditation. And these are going to use similar Feldenkrais patterns. Some of you may have played with these before. We'll continue the theme. Every time you do a lesson, Feldenkrais used to say it's an approximation of something. In other words, it's just another form of learning something once again, approximately. So we never really finish the learning. It's just all an approximation of the next time you do it. So let's do this lesson as we have with other lessons before, of just coming to standing. And feeling the way in which your feet make contact. We'll use this as a continual reference point. It's nice to check in general, to see how the feet are making contact, since we spend so much time making contact with the earth. So you can let your arms hang at your sides to have a fairly constant reference point, and just sense the front of the feet, the back of the feet, the middle of the feet, certain areas of the feet, or maybe if it's hard to distinguish, just the pure sensation itself. And increasingly, I'll ask you to have a sense of occupying a certain region of the body. And by that, I mean there's sometimes a way in which we tend to separate out parts of ourselves. So there's a part of myself I'll call my awareness, but I've localized it. So it's somewhere up in my head or top region, and then it's peering down at my feet. But I think as you play with the sense of awareness, you can see much more that awareness is not all that localized in some ways, right? It's far more open than that. That's something to experientially determine. So when I say occupy, I mean actually just go to the space of your feet and just have a sense of being aware of all of it from within the space of the feet themselves. So you're not looking at it, you're being it. If any of this languaging doesn't make sense, just erase it and do whatever you want anyway. This is just a signpost to something, another approximation. So you're just sensing the contact, being the contact, occupying the feet, the legs. And then slowly shifting to the left and a little to the right. And just having a sense of what's it like to do weight shifting. We constantly shift weight throughout the entire day. That's one of the ways we orient ourselves and get around. So you can always use the weight shifting as another measure, another reference point. And then slowly finding your way, if you're doing it with your eyes shut, to do it with your eyes open. Be sure to include your eyes open just as much as your eyes shut, because your eyes will affect your orientation. Notice where you focus your eyes when you open them. That's interesting. And then reduce the weight shifting until you start to come into the relatively neutral place where it would be easy to shift in any direction. We'll call that relative neutrality. Okay, that's just a pretest to see how it is. And then have a seat on a chair. And because we're going to also play with getting up out of chairs, I want you just to, once or twice, get up out of your chair and just simply notice how you do that. You don't have to notice anything in particular. Okay, and go back in again. Okay, and sit a little bit forward on your chair so your back is not up against the back of the chair. And have a sense of how your weight comes through yourself, through your whole body, and your sit bones make contact with the chair. Just where you feel the pressure contact. One of the key aspects of the Feldenkrais method is that you will increasingly, in a sense, map your body. You map your body-mind somatically. I think Marlis brought up early that it's as much about perception as it is about the body. The way in which we experience the body is very much related to how we perceive. So mapping yourself against these surfaces that you're on, when you're standing, walking, lying down, it's one of the ways that as human beings we develop a sense of who we are. We map ourselves onto our environment. That's what kids do a lot, right? They're rolling all over the place, touching everything, all of that. So the mapping process, which we're doing, is very enriching for continuing to get a sense of our dimensionality as bodies, minds. So you're just feeling that sense of contact. And have your hands on your thighs. At any point, you can always sit back and rest, but the idea of doing this without sitting against something is for you to start to use your pelvis in a different way in connection to your head and upper body. And slowly, just look a little bit up towards the ceiling and come back down. And you can use as much of yourself as you wish. You don't have to restrict it anywhere. So you're looking up and coming back down. Again, you're not straining. You're only looking as far as feels comfortable. But not just only your eyes. Let your head look up and come back to normal, right? Couple times and feel where you tend to feel the movement as you do this movement of just looking up and coming back to neutral. So there's probably some area where you feel the movement more than other areas, perhaps. And then once or twice, look down and come back to your neutral starting position. And notice where you tend to feel the movement as you look down and come back up. And then compare the two, looking up and coming back to neutral, and then looking down and coming back to your starting place. Do you have a preference to go in one direction or the other? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. You're just checking it out. And if you do notice you have a preference to go in one direction or the other, what is there about the direction that you prefer or you're disposed towards that you seem to like? Is there some way in which you use yourself? Maybe it's easier to curl one way or the other. Use your eyes, your face, whatever. Or maybe there's no difference. You're just checking it out. Okay, come back to neutral. And now we're going to also include playing with a little bit more emotion as you do these things, because right now we've just been doing it without that. So now, as we did before, I'd like you to just smile as you look up and smile when you look down and notice how that affects your looking up and down. Suppose you smile. Does that have an impact somewhere? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. And then come back to your neutral place. And then internally, say something like, no, 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 or whatever would be along those lines for you, and look up and down and see how saying a no to it affects the way you look up and down. Does that affect it? So the way we vocalize the things we say to ourselves, the way we use language, this is a very simple way, often affects our movement patterns and our sense of ease. So we're going to keep playing with that. But we'll use one other pattern with this, which is as you look up, I want you to look up like with really great curiosity, like, oh, there's something up there I've got to see, and then come back to neutral. Wow, there's something up there, now I'm seeing it, and come back. And do that a couple of times. Does that affect your movement orientation? Okay, and then let's throw in a contrast with that. I am so bored. So bored. And now look up being so bored. Maybe there's a difference, maybe there isn't. Right? So we're just playing with what's the connectedness between these feelings and our way we mobilize ourselves. Okay, now we'll let that go, and you can choose whatever emotion you want as you're doing this. And this time we'll throw in some pattern breaking. So as you look up with your head, you're going to let your eyes actually look down. So this is very atypical, because the eyes usually are calibrated to go with the head movement. So you may not be able to do very much of a head movement. Maybe it's a tiny bit and your eyes track down, and that's all you can do. That doesn't matter. As the head goes up, at the same time, the eyes start to look down. They're coordinated together. And, of course, breathe as you do this. And it's not a glum activity, so you can smile or open your jaw and let it relax. Couple times. Good, and let it go. And the next time you do this, let your eyes track into the movement and look up and come back down. And pick a reference spot on the wall to show how far you can easily look up without straining at all. Good. And let that go. Sit back and just rest for a moment. And just feel the effects of doing the movements. And you're just listening to the whole body, just sitting here at rest. You are that open-ended listening. And then sit a little forward in the chair. Let your feet make contact with the floor. Take your right hand and put the back of your right hand on the lower back. Take your left hand, put the palm of your left hand on your sternum or chest. And now, this is one of the few times I'll demo this, and I'll demo it to each side. What you're going to do is you're going to tilt your pelvis slightly forward and then start to look up and come back. So you'll feel with your right hand as a sensor that your lower lumbar spine is becoming a little more arched, and that influences your left hand to rise up with the looking up of your head and come back. That's what it looks like on that side, on this side. And so you'll actually feel your hands move as you do this. We're just going to do that and use the hands as sensors. So you're letting your pelvic movement actually move your spine and ribs upward, and then letting your head float into the looking up on that movement and then coming back again. So the head actually is not doing a whole lot of work. It's really the pelvis that's pushing up a little bit, and then you feel your ribs rise a little bit, and then your head will come up a little bit. If you're sitting up against the back of your chair, it'll be harder to do. because you'll just slump into your chair. So make sure your legs are spread out enough, far enough, so that they're comfortable for letting your pelvis arch a little forward. You got to find the right distance between your knees. And so the pelvis slightly tilts forward, the sternum rises, the head starts to look up. The pelvis comes back to its starting position, the sternum comes down, the head comes back to its neutral starting position. You can take your hands away when you've got the hang of it. Put both hands on each thigh. And just a couple of times, tilt your pelvis a little forward. Feel the sternum rise, look up, and come back. Coordinate that with your breathing so that you're not holding your breath. So that you really start to feel that the movement of your pelvis is connected to the movement of your head, neck, and ribs. Has everybody got a sense of that? Yeah? Okay, and let's, before we take another rest with that, this time add a little smile to the movement, like, oh, how interesting, looking up. Right? A bird is there, or the ceiling, or that beautiful sense of light coming in. And so you can always be curious and interested. You can always add that to any movement pattern and create a whole quality to the movement. Good. And let it go. Sit back in your chair. Take a rest. And just feel the effects of the movements throughout yourself. Just simply absorbing what the movements have evoked in you. Come a little forward in your chair, hands on your thighs. Let you play with how wide you want your legs now so that you can get, when you're tilting your pelvis forward, it doesn't take a lot to let yourself tilt your pelvis forward. I mean, let's play with it this way. Bring your knees really close together and tilt your pelvis forward like that. Do you feel the difference? And now bring them excessively wider apart. And tilt your pelvis like that. And you feel the difference? Now find a place that feels just right for your legs, where it's just nice and easy to tilt your pelvis forward and immediately feel the response happen in your head. Doesn't have to be big, just where you tilt and you feel the head respond. Good. Okay, let's add one more variation to this, which is, as you tilt your pelvis slightly forward, you're going to let your chin come down onto your upper ribs and come back. So this is just the opposite. The head moves in the opposite direction, tilting the pelvis forward, letting the chin and eyes look down, come down. And you'll feel a certain lengthening through your neck, right, through the back of your neck. It doesn't have to be big. But you're tilting the pelvis slightly forward, arching your lumbar spine, and your head comes down with your chin towards your chest and looks down. Pelvis returns to neutral, and you're coming back to normal. So in Feldenkrais work, this is called a differentiated movement. You're purposely moving something so it's going against the natural pattern in order to break a pattern and also to bring something into awareness. So that's fine. Now let's go back to what they call a unified pattern of movement, which is tilt the pelvis forward, let the sternum rise, let the head and eyes look up, and notice how far you're looking compared to your earlier reference point. and come back. Any change in how you're looking up past your reference point? Yeah, so this is that rewiring your sensory motor system. Good. Now we're going to add this into a more complicated movement pattern. First, we're going to do the other side. Put your left hand back of your left, your right hand back of your right hand on the back of your pelvis. Left hand on your sternum. Left hand on your sternum. Yep. Right hand back of your pelvis. Really, you could do either, but doing that. So now, let your pelvis track backwards, so you're rounding and your spine is becoming C-shaped and you feel your sternum coming over with your head. And then come back to normal position with your pelvis. It's just the opposite of what we were doing. And so you're just tilting the pelvis backwards, feeling the sternum dropping, looking down with the head, forming a C-shape with the spine, tilting the pelvis forward, feeling the sternum come up to neutral. And do this with a smile. Or maybe a little comment like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, wow. Good. Now take your hands away a couple times. Just practice the opposite. This is a flexion movement. Coming down, tilting the pelvis back, feeling the sternum come down, letting the head come down, spine rounding to a C, taking the pelvis back. Right, so you get the sense of how your pelvis can go in this direction. Okay, let it go. Sit back in your chair. Relax. Just absorb. Just simply being open to whatever is evoked. And sit a little forward in your chair, hands on your legs. So now, how to sit comfortably on any surface? Well, that's often a challenge on today's surfaces. So what we're going to do is to play with these two directions, the variations of tilting the pelvis forward, starting to look up, rounding the pelvis, coming back, letting the head look down. And you notice we have a full spectrum of movement here. You can look up, come back through neutral, round the pelvis backwards a little bit, let the sternum sink, look down. So those are the two directions. So what we want to do is the same way you've been playing with going back and forth on each leg and coming to the very middle, the relative neutrality. Here what we want to do is to go back and forth between looking up and looking down by tilting the pelvis and keep reducing it smaller and smaller in each direction until you feel like I'm perfectly sitting in my pelvis, right? That I'm stacked up on myself and that it doesn't take a lot of effort to just sit here and be stacked up in my skeleton. Now, this is a kind of unusual because typically when we're sitting, we're leaning back against something or giving our weight to something. But this is just about finding where neutral is when you're going back and forth on this spectrum and sitting comfortably. So everybody sit forward, take your back away from the back of the chair, find a comfortable position for your legs so that it's easy to tilt your pelvis. You have a nice base of support. And then begin that process of tilting the pelvis slightly forward, rounding the lumbar spine, a little bit increasing it, and looking up, coming back, looking down, letting the pelvis round backwards. And keep playing with that motion. But remember, don't let your head drive it. Let your pelvis run it. Because if the head takes over, you'll be using your head to do too much work. Stick with your pelvis and ribs being the prime movers. And of course, you want to do this to some extent with your eyes open every once in a while, because your eyes play a part in it. And keep reducing the size of the movement. Looking up, coming back, looking down, tilting the pelvis back. Until you find you're in the very middle of both directions. And it just feels like, I could just sit here. Right? It doesn't feel like you're having to work with your neck or your back or anything to keep upright. Got it? Remember, it's an approximation. It'll keep changing. This is the first time you're doing it, most likely. So check how that is, how the pressure contact is coming through your sit bones into the chair. Open your eyes and take a look around. How does it feel? Comfortable? All right, let it go, completely disorganize out. Go sit back in your chair, get out of the position. Relax completely to another position. Just let everything go. Okay, sit forward in your chair. We'll do this one more time, and then we're going to add a final variation. Put your hands on your thighs, if that's useful. And a little more quickly this time, go back and forth between looking up, tilting the pelvis forward, coming back, letting the pelvis round, looking down. And just go back and forth and keep making the movement smaller and smaller until you find the middle and you're just comfortably sitting upright. And just find it. Don't worry about getting it perfect. Just find, is this comfortable? Good? Everybody got a comfortable position? Okay, let's take this into one other thing that we'll use, and then we're going to walk around with it, which is when you get up out of a chair, one of the things that often happens for people as they get older is that they develop a kind of sensory motor amnesia. That is, they forget that they can use their legs and their pelvis to take them out of the chair, and they start using their arms and neck to take them out of the chair. You've probably all seen cases of this. Do you know what I mean? Where people go, and they push themselves up out of their chair. Have any of you ever done that? Right. So the problem with that is your neck and shoulders were not really designed to do that. That's the job of your pelvis and these really strong thigh muscles and your gluteal muscles. So we want to use those muscles to get us up out of the chair to avoid getting into this bad habit. So one way to do that is to play with tilting your pelvis forward, but this time instead of just looking up, you're playing with looking forward as if you're about to get out of the chair and launch, and then you come back. So this introduces an interesting quality. Feldenkrais said, if you improve this ability to reverse in and out of any direction of movement, you're going to improve the function. Easy reversibility. So we're going to play with starting to get up and then backing away. Now you might need to transfer the position of your feet so that you can put your weight more into your feet. So you're tilting, arching your back, looking out to find your trajectory to get up with your eyes and head, and transferring your weight down into your legs. And at some point, you're going to start to feel like, I could go further, but then come back. We want to play with going further towards standing and reverse back. Yes, right. So you develop confidence in your legs supporting you. And then at some point, it just seems like you just go with the flow and get up. And then you go back. How does that feel? Easy? Not yet. Okay, if it's not easy, you may need to position your legs and feet differently, or you may need to go over on one direction. Play with going over one leg, maybe. Check it out. Is one side better? Yes, it is.
That grimace was my biggest better, I guess.
Well, you launched and you got up. So, again, this is a first approximation of something very different than what we typically do. Again, if it doesn't work, you go back to doing what works. But this is exploring an alternative. Check out launching in a couple of different directions and notice if you get an improvement so you're not just staying in one direction. Maybe one direction feels better. Maybe another one does. Maybe leaning forward more feels better. Maybe your trajectory is down a little more first and then coming up. Yeah, play with your trajectory and path of the movement. Maybe it's looking down and then looking up. That's good. A lot of you are really playing with the reversible action, which is a great way to discover this. Yes. And then as you get up, let's add another element to it, which is, how about smiling as you're getting up? Notice how that affects the movement. Okay, and even smiling as you sit down. Okay, now sit back in your chair for a second. Take a rest with it. How many people found a path for getting up that felt relatively easy? Okay, a lot of people. It's something to play with. Again, all these things are options. If it doesn't work, you just do what works for you. It's just playing with this. So now, without thinking about it, just come forward in your chair and just get up. Did you get a little bit more of that in there? Yeah, so that's what happens is as you play with these patterns, they start to just integrate and become natural to your movement. Okay, let's do this then. Everybody, check in on your feet, the contact that your feet have with the floor. Let your arms hang at your sides. And notice if the contact through your feet have changed in any way. Have they? Note how they've changed, what's changed for you in the contact. And then do a little weight shifting between the left side and the right side. And notice if the weight shifting has changed. Maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. And slowly reduce the weight shifting until you come to the center. Notice the contact again. Good. And now let's do this. Everybody walk around the room and pick another chair to just sit down in and get up. And be experimental. Just walk around, find a chair, sit down, get up. Notice how your sitting down and getting up works for you. And just shift around a couple times to different places. Try it out with a smile or frown. And the next time you sit down, do the back and forth continuum of pelvic tilting with your head and find your comfortable upright posture on that chair. Find your comfortable posture for sitting on that chair, whichever one you're on. So you feel like you're stacked up in a fairly neutral position for yourself. And you have a sense of ease, your head. One way you can tell that you're in a relatively neutral place is if you turn and look with your head, it feels relatively easy to turn and look to either side. Good. Okay, and get up again and come back to your chair. And we'll briefly check in and then do perhaps a little bathroom break if you need it. Yes, and we need the mics. We'll have the mics. Here they are.
Thank you very much. I don't know if you can answer this, but I had a back injury and I'm not supposed to be sitting really at all, except for when I'm driving. So I haven't sat at the computer in a while. And I need to do that again. And I used to sit on a gyro ball. And now I don't know what to sit on when I do try and return to a sitting position. And I wondered, you're shaking your head. So
I'm just looking at you moving your feet back and forth.
Oh,
as you're
sitting. My goodness. So I guess I was wondering what to do about chairs, particularly not just any old chair, but chairs at computers, because I'm just going crazy from what to buy and what I can afford and what it all means. And I've tried four or five different things in the past, and so far I'm just not sitting at the computer.
Right. So in terms of that type of issue, since I'm not a medical professional, can't really answer that from any sort of medical professional situation. I think you have to really work with somebody who is very ergonomically trained to do that. This type of dynamic that we did with postural adjustment could possibly be helpful, but that's like a very individual type of situation where you need to work with someone who works with people around that. So I'm not really going to make a suggestion other than you could bring this dynamic of adjustment into it, but I would work with someone who's very, very familiar with getting comfortable in chairs. Yeah, because chairs in our society are designed often to put you into uncomfortable positions. The ergonomics of chairs are such that they either tilt you backwards sometimes or they tilt you excessively forward. So that thing with the ball was a very dynamic way of working with that issue. You just need to find something that fits just right for how you want to be in neutral when you're sitting and what neutral means to you. Yeah, and that means experimenting a lot. Other observations or comments from doing this, from the sitting? Yeah.
Issue with sitting and chairs and back issues, and just whatever it was helpful for me to get up fairly frequently and yes, not be sitting, walk around a bit or stretch.
Definitely getting up and walking around is really extremely helpful, for sure. Also, another thing when you're sitting that's really useful is to, if you're doing type of work where you have very close vision and you're using a centralized focus, that's going to have a contracting effect in your head, neck, muscles. You'll be in a tight visual field. Is to stop, look away distantly, go to peripheral vision, and you'll probably feel a shift in your head, neck organization, because we're overtrained now to just be doing this all the time, looking at our devices, and that has that narrowing effect. You know, before electricity was invented and before there was light at all times, we spent a lot more time in darkness, and our peripheral field of vision was used a lot more, and that creates a totally different effect in your organization, your perception, your body. So I see a lot of people with neck aches who are spending a lot of time with their phones in front of their faces, and it's an unhealthy development, I think. Yeah. Yes.
How do you maintain or sustain these kinds of improvements?
Well, one thing to do is to do lessons that you like more than once. You know, all these lessons I'm doing today are, you know, recorded. There's tons of lessons on the internet. There's a place called the Open ATM Project that just has many, many hundreds of Feldenkrais lessons. They're all over YouTube. I would just say practice doing lessons. What my experience is that when the more you do these types of lessons, your body starts to become awake to a new types of movement vocabularies, and that neuroplasticity effect starts to kick in, and you start to realize, you sit down and you go, wait a minute, that's not right. And then you're doing some micro-adjusting. Ah, there it is. And you just go into it. And it doesn't take a long time, but there's an awareness that something is possible to shift. And you have the options that you've created to do that. So I'd say just keep playing with it if you like it. And it becomes just something you're drawn into, like anything that feels good. Yeah. Yes, question over there in the back.
When you were giving instructions to sit up straight and the two different ways we could practice, was one of the two ways the way to actually become straight? Because one way you said was to look up and back and then this way.
Round and go down.
The other one was up and was right?
Yes.
The second one, was the first one the way to get straight or the second one?
It's the between the two. That being upright is a dynamic process. It's not a process that's static. That we're always making tiny little adjustments within ourselves to deal with the forces of gravitation. So basically, to stay upright, you're constantly using different pairs of muscles to adjust. So it's the combination of going back and forth and finding where the middle is that feels relatively upright, and you're using that continuum as a means of finding it for yourself. And every surface that you sit on will require a slightly different adjustment. So that's why I would just play with it on any surface. One general thing that's useful is when you're sitting on a surface, it's nice to have your knees a little bit lower than your pelvis. Not for every person, but generally for most people, because that'll take your pelvis into a slight arch, bring you up a little. So if you're sitting on something that's very high up and you're noticing that, that's part of the problem. Okay, any other comments, questions, observations, insights? Yes, over here.
So I just wanted to say, I think that will be, I am noticing so much and in terms of the dynamic piece and how light I felt versus I usually feel like I'm dragging myself upwards, and I work a lot at a computer and sitting, and so it really is hard. And so it just is about, I think, so much so, like, I'm grateful to know this because I can pay more attention to how we treat our bodies. I mean, specifically me.
Mm-hmm.
And to just give ourselves a second to adjust, think would be. Yeah. So thank you.
Okay, nice. Yes. Okay, oh yes, and one more question over here, and then we'll move along. Or comment?
Yeah, I think the inclusion of the emotional piece of this and smiling versus frowning or saying no, no, no versus looking up with curiosity is really interesting. It adds an interesting element, and I was curious if you could speak a little more to how you use that or how we might be able to use that with this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that the emotional orientation you have or the cognitive psychological orientation you have has a tremendous effect on how you organize yourself for action. So usually we just go with whatever's there in the organization. I mean, I teach at a university, and you know, I play with this in classes, and sometimes people will get into this posture. I can see where they're just sort of like, and the posture breeds a certain type of orientation, and then I can see. So I play with this activity with people of creating variation, which is what Feldenkrais does. Imagine you were 10%. Let's all do this right now so you can see what it is. Okay, so you're just notice your state now. This will be an answer to your question. Everybody notice the state that you're in right now. Maybe you're feeling tired. Maybe it's post-lunch. Maybe you're interested. Whatever it is, just take note of it, that general space you're in. Now, organize yourself so you're about 10% more interested in what's happening. That may mean you have to move your body because you can't always stay in the same position in order to get more interested. Or it may mean you need to move your eyes. Or it may mean you need to shift your face. Or is everybody 10% more? Did you notice how you shifted? What you brought to bear? How you mobilized your attention and your interest and the quality? Okay, now everybody get 25% more interested. Right? What is 25% more interested and curious like for you now? And let yourself shift somatically, physically. You cannot stay in the same body posture and get more interested unless you're really good at micromanaging. Okay, has everybody got that? And what would it take to just add another 5% more interest to that? Make the subtle shift into 5% more interested. Got it? What did you do? Just notice what you did to yourself. Was it in the face, the eyes, the jaw, the forward lean, the reweighting into your feet? What was it that you did? Yeah, exactly. Now, take it back so you're 20% less interested. Assume the posture of somebody who's 20% less interested. Notice how you had to make a shift internally to do that, right? And now, let's dial it all the way back so you're getting pretty bored. What's it like to be organized for boredom? Can everybody feel how you went there? Yep, and now you're getting bored. Right? Do you feel what that's like? So normally what we do is we don't realize that these states that we're involved with are part of our own organization. You know, how we're organizing ourselves, we just think it's defaulted to that. And that's why in a lot of meditation practice, people will say, if you're bored, be very curious about your boredom. Like, what's it like to be really bored? Or what's it like to be really sad? Or what's it like to be really apathetic? You know, just to investigate. Well, you can do that with your organization. Okay, just for the sake of continuing, everybody come back to 10% interested again. And now become not just interested, but a little bit fascinated. Yeah, now get a little bit more fascinated. Where do you shift internally to get... Yeah, there you go, right. Does everybody see how that... You notice it, right? Okay, where would you like to be? What's a good space to be in right now? Probably getting a bathroom break and walking around. Okay, so everybody got the idea? Got the idea? So that's what you're playing with, is it's not just your own physical organization. It's the whole sense of bringing the attitude, the organization of emotion, perception, all of it together. Good? Yes? One last question and we'll take a break. Good. Well, the whole thing is you got to just find what's working for you. So if it's doing no, and that gets you more motivated, good.
The curiosity was the easiest of all, but I thought that it was very interesting to do this back to back and see how the smiling did not produce the result.
Perfectly fine. It's all very idiosyncratic. I think the interesting thing to do from a meditative point of view, from a mindful point of view, is as you go about your day, there's certain types of organizations you use, certain ways of being that are extremely resourceful. You know, for me, sometimes it's walking, looking at trees with light. My whole body goes into a different place looking at that. I know it's a resource state. I can always use it. So whenever you find yourself in certain resourceful states, take note of your organization. How are you mobilizing yourself? How are you positioned? Those are all useful. Yeah, one more question.
Are there any good books for sort of general Feldenkrais philosophy and practice, you know, for the layperson?
Yeah, I think there's a book called Awareness Through Movement by Feldenkrais. That's good. There's a book called, I think, Mindful Spontaneity by Ruthie Alon, A-L-O-N. Yeah, those are good ones. There's a lot of books out there on the topic, but those are two good ones. Somatics is another one by, I'm spacing out his name, but Thomas Hanna. Thomas Hanna, Somatics was an offshoot of Feldenkrais. Somatics is a very good book because he goes into the psychological as well, and it has a lot of nice activities. Somatics is good. How about a 5-minute break? Come back. Walk around, play with this. Okay, welcome back. So we'll do one more Feldenkrais lesson that will be on the floor. And we'll do a very brief lesson on the chair, just to complement what we did. Very brief. So everybody sit forward on your chair a little bit. And have your hands on your thighs. And this is just a compliment to the fact that we rotate all the time during the day. And it's nice to take what we did lying down and standing into a sitting posture. So everybody just turn and look to your right and just go only as far as is comfortable and pick a marker on the wall. Do it a couple of times so that you have a sense of how far is comfortable to rotate. And put both hands on your thighs, and you are turning to your right, I believe. Slide your left knee a little forward and your right knee a little bit backwards. That's all. But keep your feet in the same place. Don't move your feet. So this is just a little bit of a movement of left knee a tiny bit forward, right knee a little bit backwards. Does everybody feel that little swivel in your pelvis? Do you feel how it starts to make its way upwards towards your head, through your spine, a little spiral motion? Suppose now, instead of turning to the right and using your head a lot, suppose you launched a little bit from your pelvis by sliding your left knee forward, your right knee back, and feeling how your head started to pick up on that movement and let your head glide into the movement and come back. Does everybody feel that? That's a way to get your pelvis into it. Because what did you do? Come back to sitting and just turn and look to the right the way you did it initially. Do you notice most of you just used your heads? Felt the predominant movement here in your cervical spine? Imagine if you bring the bigger power center of the body into it and how easy it is. So let's try that again. So this time, don't look with your head until you actually feel the movement from your pelvis coming up. And the way you do that is you slide your left knee forward, right knee back, keeping your feet in place, and let that movement start to rotate your head to look around. And then come back, let them return to their neutral starting position. Has everybody got that? Okay, that's a quick one. Let's try it to the other side without thinking about it very much. Turn and look to your left. Notice the default and come back. Right. Notice where you predominantly feel the movement as you turn and look to the left. In your neck. Okay, so now, without turning your head at all, hands on your legs, slide your right knee forward slightly, left knee back, and come back to neutral starting position. Don't look yet with your head. Just slide the right knee forward, left knee back. Feel how that creates a swivel in your pelvis. And then the next time you launch with your right knee sliding forward, left knee back, let your head ride on top of the movement and look. And then unwind it and come back. Feel the difference? So the next time you're backing your car out of the driveway, right, there's that pull and jerk it around with my head or launch from my legs and take a look. Right, imagine you're backing out. Everybody just imagine you're behind the wheel of your car and you're about to back out and you habitually would turn either to the left or the right. Go ahead and do it, but this time use your pelvis and legs to initiate the rotation. Can you feel how that takes the pressure off in your neck? And try it to the other side. Okay, let's add one more variation so you have this there. Interlace your fingers. Look at your hands. Switch them around so that the finger that's index finger on the top is now on the bottom of the other index finger. Interlace, put them behind your head. And now, you're going to look to the left, but your head is going to be passive. You're going to slide your right knee forward, left knee back. Let your elbows carry into the movement, but your head is passive, and come back. Feel how your ribs get involved. Go ahead and do it again. Slide the right knee forward, left knee back. Let the two elbows connect to that movement and come back. And the last time, look with your eyes into the direction as you slide your right knee forward, left knee back. Let your elbows follow. Your head is passive, but your eyes look in the direction and then come back. And the same thing on the other side. Slide the left knee forward, right knee back. Let the elbows get involved with the movement and look to the right and come back. And again, slide the left knee forward, right knee back. Let the elbows become involved with that movement, following it. Let the eyes look. Feel your ribs getting involved. Okay, hands here. Rest for a moment in this position. Hands on your legs. And then when you're ready, without thinking about it a lot, use your whole body to turn and look to the left and turn and look to the right. Can you feel how you can bring your pelvis and legs into it? And feel how your ribs get involved? Okay? Yes? Got it. Okay, so last thing we're going to do is a lying down lesson that will connect what we just did with looking up and down in the chair. So everybody come to standing. Turn to a person near you and just greet them and shake their hand. Okay? And switch hands and shake with the other hand. Okay. Now, let that go. Stand with the person. And the next time you shake hands, I need to demo. Can I demo? The next time you shake hands, shake hands and feel how you can swivel your pelvis a little bit as you're shaking hands with the person, right? So we're just simply going back and forth, bringing the pelvic legs, shoulders in. Switch hands, try the other hand. Go ahead. Got it? Okay. Just to bring this in, so this is a way to greet people, but greet them feeling the entire contact with the ground, the skeleton, everything. So everybody just turn to somebody else, shake hands, but feel like your feet, legs, arms, all of it's connected. You can swivel a little bit if you want, back and forth. There you go. Okay, great. Okay. So that's a way to just take what we were doing in the chair and apply it to standing and shaking somebody's hands, right? You can do that when you open a door, same thing. You can do it strictly out of your wrist, but you can also bring your pelvis into it as well, right? So just using the whole body to cooperate. Okay, so now stand, feel the contact through your feet. This will be one pre, and then we'll do another. And just get a sense of how you're making contact. Shift a little to the left and a little to the right. Notice how your weight shifting is. Do it with your eyes open if you have your eyes closed. And once you have your eyes open, just notice how you're focusing with your eyes. Open up your focus so it's very broad, and you can use your hands if you want to take you out to the periphery. Feel how that affects your weight shifting. Feel that. Bring your hands really together and just stare at them as you're weight shifting. Feel how that affects your weight shifting. Let it go. Come to the center and just feel your contact. And then taking your time, rolling onto your side first, lie down on your back. Take your time to get down. Do it in a way that feels light, easy, comfortable. Don't go straight back. Lie on your side and then go over. Make sure you have, if you need pillows, you have pillows. Something for your head, if you need something for your head. And just sense where your attention goes to. You can have your knees up if that's more comfortable for you, or stretched out, whatever works for you. And just notice where your attention goes to. Is there a particular region of yourself that your attention's drawn to? And sense the contact that you have with the surface you're on. Notice the way in which your feet and legs make contact. Notice the way in which your pelvis makes contact. Notice the way in which your spine, your ribs make contact. Notice the contact of your shoulders, arms, and hands with the surfaces they're on. Notice the contact of your head, neck. If you were once again dipped into a bottle of ink and blotted onto a page, where would there be ink impressions? Where would there be white spaces? And lastly, just become aware of the inhalation and the exhalation, the natural rhythm of your breathing. Notice as you breathe how your breath affects you, which parts of yourself your breath is moving through. Just simply rest with the breathing, listening to the whole body. And now, in particular, become aware of your spine, however you perceive it. As you bring your awareness to your spine, notice if there are areas of the spine that seem more distinct to you, areas where you feel the vertebrae perhaps more clearly or distinctly. Or maybe there are regions where things are not that distinct. There's just a general sense of the spine. And notice if there are any regions of yourself that are signaling you in any way, bringing awareness to them, to your attention. Maybe they have a message, maybe not, but there's just some sense that awareness is drawn there. And then bring your knees up, feet flat on the floor. Notice the contact of your pelvis with the floor. So in this lesson, having your knees up and flat, feet flat, is going to be helpful for doing the lesson. This is a lesson that plays with what's called a classic pelvic clock theme. And in the same way that you moved your pelvis when you were sitting between what's called a flexion and extension movement pattern, you'll be doing that in this lesson. Imagine that your pelvis is sitting on the top of an analogical clock face, the old clock face, in which 12 o'clock is in the direction of your head and 6 o'clock is in the direction of your feet. And you can make the movements that you're about to do in this lesson as small as you like. In fact, I would encourage you to play with making the movements smaller, lighter, do less than you can do, so you can really stay in a light, easy, comfortable zone. And do a light movement of tilting your pelvis a little bit upwards towards your head so that you decrease the space between your lower spine and the floor, and then return back to your starting position. So you're tilting the pelvis a tiny bit towards your head, in the direction of your head. Slowly, you don't have to go to the end of the movement. I would say do the first 10 or 15% of the movement. Some of you are jumping right into the end, but it'll be interesting to just stay in the very beginning of that movement and make that smooth and light, tilting slightly in the direction of your head and then coming back again. And as you do that, let your jaw relax and harmonize the movement with your natural breathing. So you're not holding your breath. You can accommodate the movement of your pelvis to the movement of your breathing. Maybe you just do a few of them and that's enough. You don't have to do a lot, just enough to get a sense of how you can tilt your pelvis a little bit up towards your head and come back, decrease the space between your lower spine and the floor. In harmony with your natural breathing. And then let that go and pause for a moment in this position. And then when you're ready, tilt your pelvis in the opposite direction so that your pelvis is tilting towards your feet, or 6 o'clock, and you increase the space between your lumbar or lower spine and the floor just a little bit, and then come back to your starting position. Accommodate the movement to your natural breathing. Remember, you don't have to do a lot. Maybe it's only the first 5% of the movement that you feel comfortable doing. That's perfectly fine. Or maybe it's just the very, very beginning of the movement, the about to move. That's fine too. Just a few times tilting the pelvis in the direction of 6 o'clock towards your feet, increasing the lumbar spine, between the distance between the lumbar spine and the floor a little bit, and then coming back just a little bit. And then come back to your starting position and pause in that position for a moment. Connect with your breathing. And then when you wish, connect the two directions together so you're tilting your pelvis slightly up towards your head, or 12 o'clock, coming back through the center slowly, tilting your pelvis down towards your feet, so 6 o'clock. And you're just very lightly tilting your pelvis in both directions in harmony with your breathing. So you're not holding your breath at all. You're accommodating the movement of your pelvis to the movement of your breathing. You let your jaw, face, eyes, mouth relax. And you only do as much of the movement as feels light and easy. So it's easy to do the movement with your breathing. And of course, you can feel both directions, and maybe you'll notice that you have a preference for one direction over the other. Maybe, maybe not. And if that's the case, what is there about one direction that feels more attractive, if that's the case? Do it a few times with your jaw slightly open. So you can breathe easily and lightly. Just enough to harmonize the movement with your breathing, and feel how the movement of your pelvis in both directions affects your spine and your head. Okay, and you can let that go if you want. You can always bring your knees up over your body and give your back a little massage if that feels good to you before taking a full rest. Stretch out, relax, rest, just absorb the effects of the movements. You can rest in any position. Just notice where your attention is naturally drawn to. If you wish, you can become aware of your breathing, the inhalation, the exhalation, lightly occurring, your own rhythm. You can always have the sense of simply inhabiting or resting as the body, however it appears. Or just be the listening itself. Just listening to whatever listening becomes aware of. Just resting, feeling the echoes and re-echoes of the movements. And then bring the knees up, feet flat on the floor. And feel the contact of your head with the floor. And do a very small movement of slightly tilting your head towards its 12 o'clock. If the head was positioned on a clock face, 12 o'clock is up above, beyond your head, the wall, above and beyond your head. And the 6 o'clock is in the direction of your feet, your pelvis. Tilt your head a tiny bit towards 12 o'clock and come back. Feel how that changes the pressure contact of your head with the floor. And then take your head towards 6 o'clock slightly. Feel how you change the pressure contact of your head with the floor in a different way as you take your head a little bit towards 6 o'clock, down towards your feet. Let that go. And when you're ready, tilt your pelvis back and forth between 12 o'clock up in the direction of your head and 6 o'clock, the direction of your feet. Make it very light and small. If it doesn't feel quite right, just imagine doing the movement. And notice how the movement of your pelvis is affecting your head. Does your head get involved with the pelvic movement in a slight way? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but probably it does. And just let your head become involved with your pelvis so that you coordinate the movement of your head, as you did with other lessons, with the movement of your pelvis as it goes between 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock. This is something you did while you were sitting in the chair doing the chair lesson of looking up and down. And now you're doing the same pattern lying down, although the connection of the head with the pelvis might be different. Whichever way you feel like the head is connecting with the pelvis, you just simply let it do so. And again, the movement could be so small that somebody looking from the outside might see nothing at all, but internally you can feel a certain sense of the directions. And harmonize the movements of the head and the pelvis with your natural breathing. Again, the size of the movement is really not that important. What you're looking for is the sense of coordination or connection between the movement of the head, the movement of the pelvis, and of course you'll feel that movement transmitted through your torso, through your spine. When you have that sense of connection, just enjoy it. Harmonize it with your breathing. Let your jaw, face, eyes relax. And then when you're ready, stretch out if you wish, take a full rest. Just notice where your attention's naturally drawn to. Just absorbing the effects of the movements. simply occupying the whole body mind, however it appears. Simply listening as the whole body mind. Now slowly bring your knees up, feet flat on the floor. Take hold of each elbow, opposite elbow, to form a little box. Have it be perpendicular over your chest. And as you tilt your pelvis slightly upwards towards 12 o'clock, you decrease the space between your lumbar spine and the floor. As you feel that movement of the pelvis take place, allow your box to move slightly in the direction of your head, and then come back again to the middle as your pelvis comes back. Notice if that feels right for you. As you tilt your pelvis slightly in the direction of your head, do you like having your box move in the direction of your head? If not, or if you want to experiment, as you tilt your pelvis in the direction of your head, let your box move the opposite direction, down towards your pelvis. Does that feel better? Try both directions and see which one works for you. Let your jaw relax. Let your eyes be soft and breathe. And just pick a direction where you feel in harmony of moving your arms with your pelvis. Whatever it is. And as you move your arms with your pelvis, just feel how that connects your pelvis, your arms, and your ribs. And then pause for a moment. If you want, you can put your box down. And at your own pace, when you feel ready, you can form a box again with your hands and take your pelvis in the direction of 6 o'clock, increasing the distance between your lower spine and the floor. And notice which way you want to move your box as you move your pelvis towards 6 o'clock. Is it going with or in the opposite direction? Check out both ways. See what you think. And find the way in which the pelvis and the arms want to coordinate and play with that a little bit. So you can go in both directions if you want, 12 and 6 o'clock. Just enough to get a sense of it, and then you can put your arms down, and once or twice before resting, just take your pelvis between 12 and 6 o'clock and just feel, how did adding this variation affect the movement through your spine, through your ribs, into your head? Good, and then stretch out, take a full rest. If that's comfortable, you can always keep your knees up if that's comfortable. just listening to the whole body at rest. And one last time, bring your knees up, feet flat on the floor. If you want, you can do this. If not, you're going to rest, you can always rest. If you need to give your back a little massage, you can do that anytime you want. And one last time, take your pelvis between 12 and 6 o'clock and let your head freely participate in the movement of your pelvis, whichever way it wishes, so that there's a clear sense of connection between the two. And harmonize it all with your natural breathing. And then pause, let that go. And we'll add one more variation and see how this affects you. If you imagine that your pelvis is sitting on a clock face, you've explored 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Now take your pelvis over to the left towards 3 o'clock. Come back to the center and do that a couple of times. You might notice that sometimes you move your legs, sometimes you don't. And then take your pelvis over towards 9 o'clock to the right. And notice which side feels a little bit easier for you, if you're predisposed to one side or the other. And come back to the center. And the last variation to play with is imagine taking your pelvis through the different numbers of the clock face. 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Well, without having to think about it a lot or get it right or anything like that, you're just sort of lazily moving your pelvis around the clock face, doing what seems possible, allowing yourself to not be able to do something, just lightly exploring in one direction, clockwise. If you want, you can reverse and go counterclockwise. So you're just taking your pelvis, relatively speaking, around the clock, noticing which numbers are easy to go through, which ones might be harder. And as you move your pelvis, just noticing how that affects your head, your ribs, other parts of yourself. Breathing. Just playing with it lightly. It's not serious. Smiling if you want as you do it. That's fine. And last time, bring your knees up over your chest. Give your back a nice full massage. You can roll around a little left and right. Of course, you'll notice that as your pelvis moves, your ribs move, your arms move, your head moves. There's a kind of unity of movement. When you feel complete with that, you can stretch out, take your last rest. Sense your contact with the floor. Notice where your attention is naturally drawn to. Just feel how you've been affected by the lesson. If you were dipped into a bottle of ink and blotted on a page, what's the ink impression like now after the lesson? Has it changed in where there is ink or there are white spaces? Notice if there's any region of yourself that your attention is drawn to. And if your whole body, mind, that region is giving you a signal about something or some form of inner knowing, what would it be like? What's it like to listen to that message or that inner knowing or that signal right now? And then slowly, taking your time, you can bring your knees up and you can roll around from one side to the other and very lazily, slowly make your way towards standing, but really take your time. Be luxurious about it. Play with different movement possibilities that suggest themselves. Maybe you stop in a certain position, you rest there. Maybe you feel a certain desire to move one way and then the other. Just take your time coming up. What's it like to just simply listen to how you want to come up? And eventually you'll make your way to standing, but really take your time coming up. Make each transition something that follows from the previous transition. When you do eventually come to standing, you can just once again sense the contact through your feet. Let your arms just hang at your sides eventually. You, of course, can move them around. And just notice, what's the contact like now through your feet? Has anything changed from the last time you checked in and your contact through your feet? And if so, how so? And play with a little weight shifting, taking your weight to the left leg, through the middle, to the right leg. Do it both with your eyes open and eyes closed. And notice, has anything changed in the way in which you shift your weight now? Either physically or psychologically? And find the very center of that weight shifting movement so you have a sense of contact that feels just right for you. And at some point, you want to open your eyes and just take in the whole field of the room. Open your whole body up to sensing, feeling, listening to the whole space of the room, everybody in it, that global sense of being aware, welcoming everything. And then walk around a bit and notice how the lesson has affected your walking. Taking in people, varying the pace, going in different directions, making contact, smiling, looking. And notice how the lesson has affected the way in which you want to walk. And how you take in everybody in the room. And yet you're very embodied, right? Very present as the whole body, alert, awake, listening. And at some point, you can vary the speed, walk around at a different pace, change directions, look around. Eventually, find someone you can be partners with. If you want. Maybe you want to be by yourself. That's okay, too. And just allow yourself to take in the presence of the other person, but also just feel your sense of contact through your feet. And in a way, you can just receive the sense of presence of the person and feel that presence throughout your whole body, mind. And shake hands with the person. Say hi. Say your name if you want. And also, as you shake hands, feel the contact all the way through into your feet. Right? So you can change hands, shake hands, feel the contact, right, through your whole skeleton. That's fine. Good. And go around the room and maybe shake hands with another person, feel the contact, say hi, thank them for occupying the same space in the same exploration. Great, and let's make our ways back to the seat. If you meet someone else, you can always say hi. And when you're sitting down or you're next to somebody, we'll do this in the whole group. Let's just check in one more time to see what that last lesson was like for you, how that affected you. You can have a seat and dynamically adjust your sitting in whatever position you're in. It doesn't really matter, so that you actually feel comfortable sitting. You can come back to shifting your pelvis a little bit, right, back and forth, whatever position you're in, and just have a sense of neutrality, because the lesson you just did was similar to the lesson you did when you were sitting. Does everybody feel the theme? Right? The neutrality of the pelvis in relationship to being upright? Yeah, you look upright. Okay, so anything that you want to share with that? Insights, observations, aha moments? Here's a microphone coming over. Hold on.
Is how much I enjoy being given permission to wiggle around in any way I want.
Yes.
And that's been just helpful for me in realigning my body, because I'm dealing with this back injury. And one thing that was very helpful was getting to a place where I didn't get afraid every time I felt a twinge of pain. So just going, oh, okay. And trying to wiggle around and move around in another, reposition in another way. But not going into like, oh, God, there it is.
Not being freaked out by it,
but
recognizing it and making a subtle shift to try something else.
Yeah.
Yes, Yes, two in the back there. Yeah, exactly. That's that reversible action that takes place.
I'll just comment on the very last, when we just finally sat. Actually, when we were walking around saying hi to a couple of people, I actually felt more present with the whole surroundings and in my body at the same time. So it was just kind of weird. But I feel like lightened or something.
Weird in the sense to have both those things happening at the same time. Yes, to have a full presence of the body and the presence of the space and the room and the people. Yeah. That's that sense of really occupying oneself fully, this as well as all of this. Yes. Lord, there's a, over here, there's a, well, we'll take one more here and then come back, sure. Yep.
I just noticed how effortless everything is, and usually I am intellectually making things so much harder.
Mm.
And about 5 years ago I lost quite a bit of weight, and it's been a journey for those 5 years of kind of reconnecting to my body, and it's been such a struggle just being aware. So today I've just been, it's just blown my mind how little effort I've been putting into, like, sitting right now would used to be such a yay, here's my trophy. And this is just really present and peaceful.
Yes, and I think over here, and then over here.
Thank you. I notice now, coming from lying down, that when I sit, I was immediately in that fairly neutral position that was totally comfortable, and I hadn't been able to do that till this last piece, so simply. And I want to thank you. I forget about Feldenkrais, this whole field that's created of deep relaxation and curiosity, and that's so different when there are aches and pains or places I don't want to go to just get really curious and interested, and it's almost like a scientific research about this relationship to that, and what would it be like if I did that? And I used to do that a lot more, and I really thank you for bringing me back and also a new version of it here. It just feels great. Yeah.
Fantastic, yeah. Over here, I think.
I'm walking different.
I have a couple of questions. Number one, as we head home after this relaxing day, I have a question about Feldenkrais and how much of it is meditation, even though you demonstrated, I'd like to know if there's a number, meditation versus exercise versus breathing. That would be my first question. If you look at Feldenkrais as all of that.
Meditation, exercise, and breathing, if it encompasses those.
I can't hear you.
If it's a combination of those, if it's a combination.
Can you give a percentage?
I think the percentage might be up to you.
Okay.
I think to me, the idea of what meditation is it's life is meditation in the sense that we're always listening, we're always aware, we're always noticing something. So in a certain sense, all of it is a form of meditation. It's a moving or still type of meditation in which you are simply aware and awake and noticing. And that is pretty much what goes on throughout the day. So I have a very inclusive, maybe it's an easy way to meditate, is just to make it all of that. And then with the Feldenkrais, you notice that there's a certain orientation to doing things that throughout this whole series of activities, these lessons, that orientation is one of slowing it down a bit, being aware of how you do what you do. That sense of how is a lot of the learning. Oh, how did I do that? Oh, interesting. When I reached out, oh, I shifted my weight onto my pelvis. Oh, I looked in the direction I was going. Oh, I extended through my arm. and put more weight in my right foot. There's a whole sense of just how I'm using myself. So that just, as the more you do the lessons, that just becomes part of what you're doing. And that's very Feldenkrais in a way. Oh, I can reverse directions here. Oh, I can look that way. It's very different looking to the left and to the right. Oh, that's because I'm sliding my pelvis forward that way. You know, you start to notice these things. You can take that orientation into doing any type of thing. Reaching to a cabinet and opening it up. There's that whole movement of extending through yourself using your pelvis. Or lifting weights, or riding a bike, or whatever it might be, you know, working in the garden. It's all about the way in which you start to notice how you do what you do. And that's what this is fostering, in a sense. So the more you do it, the more you start to notice it, and the more it just becomes part of what you're doing. But initially, you need to play with it if you're unfamiliar with it. And
so there, that leads to my next question. Yeah. And if we want to play with it, is it possible for you to define the different lessons you gave us today and send us an email? Is that possible?
Well, all the lessons that I did, sure. If you want to email me and ask me for the lessons, all the lessons I did are on that CD, but also those lessons are available. If you go to YouTube, you'll find very similar lessons. I mean, there's many, many people. If you want to actually go to a class, a Feldenkrais class, you can go to feldenkrais.com. There's a section called Find a Practitioner. You put in your city or your area code, and you define how many miles within that radius, and it'll pop up everybody who does it. So you can do classes. I do classes in Oakland and Rockridge area. It's on the back of the handout, Tuesdays. But there's all over the Bay Area the people who do it, because this is where Moshe Feldenkrais first taught in the U.S. So it's very available here. Everybody has a different style. I did it one style. That's a good place to follow up. Maybe we'll take one or two more and we'll come to an ending.
Hello. I just wanted to ask about the eye, the role of eyes.
Yes.
Like how you were saying when you drag them, I really felt a difference. But you also said to open your eyes to see what your eyes are doing because it organized or something like that.
Yes.
Could you just say a little bit more about what is that bringing and how, or do I need to read a book
sure.
about that?
Well, in my experience, the eyes are very connected with other movements in the body. They help organize other movements. And you notice when we did the lessons where you differentiated your eye movement from other movement, when you were turning and you kept your eyes in one direction, it's hard to do because the eyes are so joined into the movements. So There's this whole way in which we use our eyes and our jaw and mouth to help organize other things that we're doing. So it's interesting to simply notice how you do that and to play with it intentionally. Because right now, the way I see people using themselves is they're extremely concentrically focused with their eyes. And that's just that habit of staring at a screen a whole lot. But that narrowing down tends to create a certain constriction throughout the whole body often. Not all the time, but often. And so when I was saying play with going out to the periphery, you can do it with your hands. You can just take them out to the periphery and let your hands disappear out of sight and then just keep that soft, open focus and feel how that affects the whole body all the way through. And then you can come back to the concentric and look at that. Notice how that affects body. So it's nice to play with going out to the periphery and being concentrically focused just to introduce the variation, because we spend so much time being concentrically focused now. And it's for most people, it becomes highly restrictive, unconsciously so. So that's what I mean to play with. Yeah, one more, Marlis.
Thank you for this beautiful teaching. And I just, interesting, this first time I've been in this hall, and I was amazed at how consciously it is designed in every respect, aesthetically, feelingly, spiritually. But I just couldn't adjust to this chair. I was absolutely miserable in this chair. And everywhere I'd move, I was hurt. And now it's just like perfectly comfortable.
All right. The triumph of the Feldenkrais lessons. Yeah. You know, it is interesting, though, how we, many of us, do have to struggle with chairs throughout the day. That's an issue. So this is a part of, I was planning to do something that just made that a little easier. You can keep playing with that, because chairs are not always what we hope they would be. Okay. Yes, wait, Mike will come over, and then one more.
I'm just curious if you worked with Feldenkrais directly, if he was still around when you started.
No, I missed the opportunity. I had it pop up, but I didn't do it. But then I worked with his direct descendants, the first level teachers out who were with him. So I got a fair sense from them about it. But, you know, I liked what they did. There's some pretty good people doing it. The teaching is getting passed on in its own way, and everybody does it differently. Okay, so what I thought we'd do just to end is do a brief loving-kindness meditation and just close with that. And if you want, I'll be here. You can take some questions afterwards. My email, my website's on that handout. If you want to be in touch, further questions, I can be a resource. Let me know. I really love to share this type of work, so feel free to be in touch. Afterwards. So again, just find where you're comfortably sitting, relative neutrality for your sitting, whatever it may be. You can do micro adjusting through your pelvis. Become aware of the natural rhythm of your breathing. Your own unique rhythm. Have the sense of the presence of the whole body, simply being here, body, mind, just simply inhabiting the space of the body, however it appears. Simply resting as receiving, welcoming, listening, being, whatever word you wish to associate with that. And then bring to mind someone or a creature, it could be an animal or a person or even some place on the planet where when you are present with that creature or place or person, you automatically start to feel a sense of loving kindness. The memory, the presence of that being or place starts to evoke feelings of love and kindness within you. Doesn't matter whether they're alive or dead. You're just simply feeling their loving kindness that person or place, creature evokes. And you simply receive it. Just let that loving kindness wash over you. Almost like a benefactor. Just receiving, communing with that loving kindness. You can feel and give presence to that in words if you wish, whatever words work for you. You can feel that sense of, may I be happy, may I be peaceful, may I be free from suffering. As the wish that person or creature or place is bestowing upon you. And then you can give it to yourself too. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be free from suffering. And letting that wash over you. Whatever words work for you. And then as you steep yourself in that current of loving kindness, have the sense of radiating it out to the people in the room. Maybe you want to use words in the same way that I wish to be happy or peaceful, free from suffering. May all of you be happy, be peaceful, be free from suffering. If you can feel that and give it words, that's fine. If no words, that's fine. Just radiating it out in all directions. As I wish to be happy, may you be happy, peaceful, and free from suffering. Immersing each other in a field of loving kindness. And then let that expand out to other people and places. In the same way that I wish to be happy and peaceful and free from suffering, may all beings be happy and peaceful and free from suffering. May all beings be compassionate, filled with loving kindness. Just radiating that out in every direction. Everyone. May everyone feel peaceful, happy, free from suffering. May all beings be happy and peaceful, compassionate and wise. And then let it radiate out in all directions, everywhere, throughout the universe, like a star shining. May all beings be happy, be peaceful, be free from suffering. In all directions. So may you have a good trip back. Have a happy holidays and a great new year. May you move freely and easily and lightly. And feel free to stay in touch. It's been a delight to do this with you today. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org. feldenkrais.org/donate.